Thank you for helping us with the podcast. I much appreciate it. To start with, Dr. Sung Wong,
yes.
If you could tell us a little bit about where you are and where you work.
I conducted head-to-head comparison of THK-5351 and AB4051 for tau PET imaging in two Alzheimer's disease patients, for FTD syndromes and to normal controls.
Right, and Alzheimer's disease as well. In AD.
FTD syndrome patients and normal control.
Yeah, right. And so, what syndromes were there?
FTD syndromes. Regarding FTD syndromes, we included the behavior variant FTD, non-fluent variant FTD, and semantic variant PPA patients.
Right. Mm-hmm. Did you include people with Alzheimer's disease as well?
Yes.
Right. The work that you're doing is very important because there's been a lot of controversy at the moment regarding tau imaging in particular and what it's good for and how it works, right? Because some tau agents have off-target bonding. Mm-hmm. Some tau agents are better for Alzheimer's disease and not very good for other diseases. So that's with some have three-repeat, four-repeat versions. It's important that this type of work's done so that we can compare the two. What were your findings?
We found that AB4051 showed more increased uptake than THK series.
Yes.
In Alzheimer's patients.
Yes.
However, in FTD syndrome cases,
yes,
THK series showed more increased uptake than AB4051.
Right.
However, in semantic variant patient, 90% to 80% semantic variant patient seem to have TDP-C pathology.
Ah, right.
So we think that the increased uptakes in the frontal FTD syndrome might be related to non-specific neurodegeneration.
Right, and consequent neuroinflammation in that area.
Yeah.
Right, and we know that with the recent studies with selegiline blocking in with the THK compound, they found that almost all of the THK uptake wasn't tau at all, but really MAO-B. And there's some concern about MAO-A binding also in 1451. So you think perhaps the frontal uptake in these subjects might be related to inflammation in these subjects rather than tau bonding?
Yeah, I think so. I think that increased uptake in the frontal and the off-target regions might be related to inflammation induced MAO-B.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. In the healthy controls, you showed limited uptake in both traces, but there was a little bit of uptake in the THK compound. Correct. Is that in the hippocampus or in the whereabouts was that located?
In my studies, there were no uptake,
right.
Increased uptake in the hippocampus.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
However, some studies show that increased uptakes in the hippocampus might be related to choroidal plexus.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I was alluding to. Yes, a lot of studies that people thought, ah, that's hippocampus, mm-hmm. it turned out to be non-specific bonding in the choroid plexus, yeah. which is a very vascular structure, and it's got, so that may also be related to the MAO or just general non-specific inflammation binding.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So this is very important work.
Yeah, thank you.
For our listeners, I don't know, but in Korea they've been able to work very efficiently in doing many scans. You also did flibetaben studies on these traces, which is another one of the amyloid compounds made by Pyrimal. So which of these studies showed flibetaben uptake?
In this study, we used fluorobetaben, and we also used flutametamol.
Oh, you used flutametamol as well, right?
Yeah, and before the fluorine ligand, we used PIB imaging.
Right. And in any of these dimensions, did they show any uptake with the amyloid compound?
Yes.
Yes. What was that? Which syndromes showed the amyloid uptake?
I am interested in vascular dementia patients.
Yes.
We found that over 30% of vascular dementia patients showed increased uptake.
Right.
Yeah. And this increased amyloid uptake affected their clinical significance.
Right. So do you think these might have had a mixed vascular disease and Alzheimer's disease?
Mm-hmm.
Right. By adding the two diseases together, you increase the severity of the Alzheimer's disease?
Yes, correct.
Right. So, I mean, we've learned a lot at this meeting, and I've very much enjoyed it. What did you find most interesting at the meeting so far?
For amyloid ligands?
Oh, for anything.
Anything.
Yeah. So what did you find? What were your takeaways from the meeting? What did you find was most interesting from the meeting?
Yeah. We found that amyloid beta and vascular burdens synergistically affected visuospatial dysfunction.
Ah, okay.
And we also found that amyloid beta and amyloid beta and white matter hyperintensities are correlated each other in ApoE4 non-carriers.
Okay.
Yeah, and therefore we think that amyloid beta and vascular disease are correlated each other, and their correlation synergistically affected cognitive impairment.
Could it be that some of those those white matter abnormalities that people talk about really are not so much related to vascular damage, but perhaps related to amyloid inclusions?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, I think that's one of the takeaways we've had from the meeting as well. I thought the meeting here was very interesting because we've been seeing that a lot of the tau ligands have non-specific binding, so we need to be very careful about interpreting them. I think the other takeaway was that a lot of the amyloid PET was showing up earlier than we thought, and perhaps even at the same time as CSF amyloid. And I thought also that the tau ligands were showing up maybe at about the same time as the FTD changes. I don't know. Did you do FTG changes on any of these subjects? FTG.
FTG. We don't have FTG data.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Right. Yeah, yes. Yeah, because I think that'd be interesting to correlate FTG. It does co-localize with the tau changes,
yes.
But there's some question about which comes first, tau or amyloid. So I think that's a controversial issue.
Yeah, very interesting issue.
Yeah. We're living in an exciting time. And there's, of course, there's new traces coming on. You used the 1451 and the THK compound. But there's some other traces coming, some which might come to Korea, and certainly I know they're coming to Australia.
Not yet. However, we try to have Pyrimal new ligand or yes. Merck new Merck, ligand. Right. Yeah.
And Roche also, I think, they've got a ligand coming out as well.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a lot of competition for for tau ligands at the moment, and we're changing from the first generation to these later generations of tau ligands, and I think that's very important, because I think there's some significant limitations in the first, and I think your study showed that there's some significant limitations in the first generations of tau ligands, and we need to move that on. Particularly at this study, there was there's tau therapies being being done. AbbVie promoting a tau therapy. There's other companies that are doing tau therapies. So I think it's important that we get our tau imaging right in order to make tau therapies work, because we've discovered that if you don't get your amyloid imaging right, you don't get the amyloid therapies don't work. So I think it's been a very interesting meeting, and thank you very much, Dr. Sang Wong, for helping us out and talking on the podcast. I hope I can get to Korea one of the days. And of course, Korea is quite famous in the other areas. The CIT, which is the tau, which is the F18 ligand for measuring for Parkinson's disease, is a was developed in Korea, wasn't it?
Yes.
And a lot of that work's been done in Korea, and Korea's been very very efficient at doing the tau imaging and the amyloid imaging, and I think there's a lot of good work to be coming out of Korea.
Thank you so much.
And thank you, and thank you for speaking to us. Much appreciated.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.